from LPM,
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another new episode of Money Memories. I'm your host, Alona. On this week, I'm featuring Latasha Peterson. She's a blogger and side hustle coach and creator of Arts and Budgets, a blog dedicated to side hustles. In our conversation, Latasha describes why her relationship to debt was like being in an arranged marriage and how her early money memories of her parents' difficult relationship with it influenced her into adulthood. She shares how she was able to take control of her financial journey and the lessons she hopes to impart on her young children. Let's jump in. Good morning, Latasha. Welcome to Money Memories. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much.
I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. I recently discovered your Instagram platform, Arts and Budgets, and really just love the work that you're doing. And I'm so excited to feature you and your story on the program today.
Oh, I'm so excited to share.
Well, let's get started. What's your earliest or most impactful money memory?
Wow. I would say would probably have to be how my family would use debt to pay off debt. So debt was seen as normal in my house. And I didn't even think anything of it. Like, you know, getting loans and things like that was just seen as a way to pay off bills. And, you know, and I would also see a lot of the hardships. So when I think about money as a child, as in my childhood, I think about that. Like, I think about like how, like, sometimes it was hard, you know, cars repoed, didn't necessarily have an emergency fund, a savings fund. Like, I knew nothing about that. I didn't know about what an emergency fund was. I didn't know what investing meant, you know, and I didn't know any of that even going into my first year of college. I didn't know how to, you know, manage money. I was never taught that as a kid or well, in addition, I also didn't see that in my household. So that would have, when I think of my childhood and money, that's what I think about. I think about seeing debt being used to pay off other debts and also not really having a lot of like money management really taught in the house. And like I talked to my mom today and she would say, absolutely, that was so true. And it was due to the fact that she didn't learn that as, you know, when she was younger either. So it was kind of like the same type of behavior, whatnot. And it's not like that she knew, you know, oh, this is bad. It was just that it was what was normal to her. And that's what was normal to me when I entered college.
How did that make you feel? I love what you said about we use debt to kind of pay off debt. So you talk a little bit about, you know, the material side of it, right? In terms of like what happens to possessions, but how did that make you feel?
I didn't feel like financially secure growing up, like all the time. There were some times I did, and that was when like, maybe, you know, nobody was really talking about money. And it's really like a weird, I would say, feeling that I get, like, it's almost like a trigger for me, I think, in a lot of ways, when somebody will maybe be like, you know, do you have money for this? It always feels like you can't like totally be honest, which I'm really big on being honest, but I feel like it's a trigger when it comes to just money in general. And I think the way that that made me felt, you know, I was always happy when the people in my house had money because it always seemed like it was better. But as a young child growing up, you know, seeing like my mom's car being repoed, it just hurt so bad. And it was just kind of like, I really want to make sure that I get this, you know, it started to like drop seeds then, like, I really want to make sure that I leave generational wealth to my children, you know, but it was still like a pattern that I feel like that I had to eventually break. Because when I went to college, I immediately went to what I was used to, which was like debt. So student loans. And not only did I get student loans, but I got the max student loans to pay for other things in my life, you know, like a car, like some of my car notes and, you know, my education. But it was just something that I was just used to and I thought was okay then. So I would say like the feeling that I got growing up in my household with money would have to be more so like, if you get debt, it'll be okay. If you can get a loan, then it'll be okay. The bill collectors won't call you like they're calling my mom. You know what I'm saying? So it was more so along those types of fields.
Wow. Wow. So can you talk a little bit about your, I guess, your personal finance journey and when you started, when you decided to make the decision to kind of break free of debt and to take, you know, like ownership of your financial empowerment, let's say?
So I went to college. And like I said, when I first got to college, I just immediately went to like student loans, I would say like later in the semester. My mom was like, well, you could get a student loan and this would be like really, really awesome for you. And at that time, I had already had credit cards because my mom was, you know, introduced me to credit cards. So when I was 18, 19 years old, I always tell people it almost seemed like I was born into debt. Right? Or debt was handed to me, almost like an arranged marriage. So when I entered college, I had about 5 credit cards that my mom thought was like really awesome to get. Cause she was like, you can build up your credit. And I'm like, yes, like, let's do this. But so we did that. And so I had 5 credit cards. So I went into college with debt. Okay. And then after that, I was introduced to student loans. And I didn't read none of the fine print. I just got them because I was like, this would be really cool to pay for college. At that point, I was at a state school and I could have just got financial aid. But I ended up getting like $3,000 or something like that during that time. And then after that, I transferred to a more expensive school, which was in Chicago called Columbia College Chicago, which is an art school because my background is in theater and music and just the performing arts. And that school was super high. So I immediately went to the Student Affairs Center. I think that's what it was called. And I got like the max student loan. And that totally just covered like the tuition because it was like $9,000 for the semester. After that, I decided to leave because I actually wanted to start saving money, not spend as much money. But what happened was when I went to the next college that I went to receive my bachelor's degree, what happened was those same mentalities that I knew growing up, I went back to. So I went into my bachelor's degree program. And basically with that, I went to the financial aid office and I said that I, you know, of course I needed some student loan money, some grants, but they also had like loan money you could take out. And I was like, wow, okay, then let me do that. So I got the max each semester. And leading up to my graduate degree, I got the max student loans. I did not read about what interest was, how much I would have to pay back, how this would affect me into my 30s. And I just did that all the way up to I was done with grad school. And then after I left grad school, I was hit with a nice six-figure student loan debt bill. And I was like, oh my God, I have to run away from this. So I did a lot of running away from the debt, like for years. And years on years, and I just would look at it online and then like put it in deferment or, you know, do an income-based repayment plan. And at that point, I wasn't making enough money to actually have a bill. So I think my payment was like $0. So I just kept running. It was a way to escape what I did. And one day, I would say when I got in my 30s, so this is well out of my 20s. When I got in my 30s, early 30s, I said, enough is enough. I have to change my money story. I had to do that. And that starts with me. So that's where like the transition happened. I would say early 30s.
So I love how you talk about how it's like an arranged marriage. So what was it like divorcing that partner, divorcing that debt partner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I talk about that a lot. So I'm actually in the process of writing a book, Breaking Up With Debt. And it's almost like breaking up with the relationship of debt. So that process wasn't always easy because, you know, sometimes like if you're in a bad relationship and you go back to it, you know, you may not, you know, feel like you can be without it. So I did a lot of back and forth. I did a lot of trying to pay off a credit card, but then doing a balance transfer at the end of the year because I didn't officially pay it all off. So I did a lot of back and forth. So I talk about that in the book as well. And like how like the whole process of breaking up to debt has led me up to where I'm at now, which is I'm paying off my last credit card and it will be totally finished being paid off in July, which is so crazy to say because for the past 17 years, I have had a credit card balance, but I will officially be credit card debt free in July. And I'm so excited about that. But it was definitely like a back and forth moment. And I would have like moments where I'm like, okay, this is it. So I had like my first one, like my early 30s, like, this is it. I need to get this stuff together. And then something happened when I got married and we had our first child. I was just like, that super big why to why I'm doing this went up drastically. I'm like, I have to get this together. So I had my first child at 32. And then I wasn't working at the time. I had started my blog, Arts and Budgets, and my husband was just working. So I didn't have a lot of money to throw at debt. So I was just doing the minimum balances. So I grew this business. And then after a year, I started to monetize and then start to make money from the actual blog. And then I turned it into an LLC. But the biggest why for me was my son. And then at that time, and then 2 years later, I had my second son. And then just recently I had my third son, but something happened in 2020, which was last year, which is like just recently. And I had a chance to do another balance transfer to one of my cars that was about $7,500 in credit card debt. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, God, I'm not doing that anymore. I was like, God, if you help me find a way to get out of this, you know, like increasing income, I will get out of it. And literally in January, the income that I made with Arts and Budgets like tripled. So I'm like, everything that I'm doing right now is going to be geared towards paying off debt while my husband handles like the other stuff. And we're kind of on the same page with that. But I think honestly, the biggest change and shift was when I first had my first son, but the I'm fed up, I'm done, I am changing the future for them happened last year during the pandemic.
Wow. And you talk, and so you bring up your blog, Arts and Budgets. So can you talk a little bit more about the genesis of that, when you started it and what was the inspiration for it?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is in teaching at a performing arts school. And when I got married, a year later, we had gotten pregnant. And at that time, I knew that I wanted to stay home with my son. But I also knew that I wanted to still work on projects and things like that. So I began to look at different side hustles that I could do. I've always been like a side hustle person. People will often call me a side hustle queen because they would come up to me and be like, Tasha, how can I make money, you know, with my car? You know, can you help me with my resume? Are there any open at the school that you teach at and things like that? So I've always been like a go-to person because I knew a lot of creatives who didn't make a lot of money, you know, because sometimes in theater and acting and singing, you don't always make a lot of money. So they will always come up to me, you know, and ask like, how can we make extra money? Like, you're doing, you know, all these little side hustles. Can I be, you know, how are you a brand ambassador and things like that? So when I got married, a year later, we got pregnant. So then when I was pregnant, me and my husband was like, you'll stay at, you know, like I was like, I'll stay at home. And then I started to look at different blogs, and I'm not even sure how I stumbled upon blogs, but they were personal finance blogs. And I was just so inspired by all of these bloggers paying off thousands of dollars of debt and then making like 10 grand per month. And then it was at that point that I said, I could pay off all of this debt if I do this correctly. So I began to study that while I was pregnant. The why for me at that time was so I could stay at home with my son. I have to figure this out, you know, and I had a love for writing as well. So I was like, this is the best side hustle for me. Cause I always tell my students and clients, like, find something that you're, you know, you're great at, focus on your skills and talents, and then, you know, look through different side hustles online and see which ones resonate with you. And at that point, it was blogging for me. So I started the blog and I launched it 2017 in February. And I began to write about like my personal finance experience, different things that have helped me along the journey, you know, different ways to just make extra money. Because I really wanted to touch on or help individuals who were, you know, stay-at-home moms, people just, you know, creative, they need extra money, and help them find ways to make extra money. So that's how Arts and Budgets was birthed.
Wow, that's incredible. And I guess, what was the most surprising thing that you learned along the way? Because you mentioned that at some point, like, your income tripled. So, like, what was the thing that surprised you the most about either generating income from the blog or, you know, starting it up that you didn't expect to find out?
I think, like, the most surprising thing was that if you serve your audience, then the rest will come. So if the main focus isn't money, but if it's to help other people and help them solve a direct problem, then everything else will fall into place. If you're serving and you really have a heart to help, And, you know, you could get everything else in order, like the branding and the brand colors and things like that, and, you know, get everything in order. But what I learned specifically is that when I served others, the rest will come, the money will come. And as soon as I tapped into that, you know, I feel like everything kind of shifted and my income increased. Like, I really want to help them with these posts. You know, I really want to help them with the content and the courses that I have to make extra money to turn a side hustle into a profitable business, because it resonates with me, because that's where I was at the beginning. Like, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. I'm pregnant. I want to stay home with my son, but I have no idea how to do that at this point. And it was that turning point for me.
Wow, that's amazing. So what's like your ultimate vision or goal for Arts and Budgets?
Oh, that's good. So ultimately, I want to be able to be a little bit more hands-off. I want to hire more help. I've just got a proofreader, which is like a weight lifted off. Having three boys, I need to make sure that I am utilizing my time the best way that I can, but also being effective as I pay off this debt, you know, and then thinking like future stuff, like me and my husband want to invest and start doing that, you know, pretty soon. You know, we've been, you know, reading about it and learning about it and things like that. But I think ultimately what I want to do conferences. I want to help individuals who are struggling with money. You know, maybe they are like me and got a lot of student loans, or maybe they just didn't, you know, get a sense of what, you know, how to manage money as a child. My goal is to help individuals do that on a much larger scale. And with that, I want to hire a team. You know, I was just talking to my husband, like, I'm like, I have to get a VA. Like, I have to hire a VA, like, within the next 2 months or so to help me with this load so I can let out more content and do more. So that's like one of the biggest things that I want to do within the next 3 to 6 months. And I just kind of want to be hands-on, but hands-off, like having more hands helping me on a larger scale so we can help even more people.
When you realize your dream of having a VA, let me know. I'm happy to split the cost with you. We can maybe like find a way to share that VA virtual assistant.
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like as a content creator, you're like, if I could just clone myself, if I could just be have like octopus arms and have like one be the Pinterest, one be the Twitter, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, before I let you go, I want to know, because you mentioned you're the mom of three boys, and some of the financial lessons that you hope to teach them as they grow up.
Oh, that's such a good question. It is my desire that they know how to invest their money, know how to manage their money, that even though they may make a lot of money, they know how to manage it. So what are you doing with that? Are you blowing it on shoes and clothes every single month and you don't have any money at the end of the month? But or are you saving and putting it into emergency fund? I really hope, well, me and my husband both hope that they learn how to manage money early on. And I know that starts early. So we're starting them really early. Learn how to manage money early on, learn how to save money, set up an emergency fund, learn how to invest and start investing early. And we want to leave money for them for generational wealth so they'll know what to do with it as soon as they turn, you know, 18, 19 years old. And we just really want to make sure that they learn how to manage the money that they have, whether no matter how much it is, learn how to manage it and learn how to have like those different, you know, avenues open, like a savings fund, an emergency fund, because I didn't see that as a child and a teenager. It is my desire that they know that. And with me and my husband as their parents, we are going to try our best to instill that in them and that they know how to properly manage money, no matter how much money that they earn.
I love that. And it sounds like your boys are still pretty little, but how are some ways that you started to, you know, show them that, or that you plan on doing that for them?
So my oldest is 4 and he absolutely loves math and money and telling time and things like that. So one of the things I feel like that me and my husband want to do as they get a little bit older, maybe like they might have like an allowance, you know, and then they can figure out, you know, do you want to save it? You want to go buy a toy, you know, and things like that. Learning the responsibilities of having money in a fun way, I think is really, really important, because I don't want to be like super like stern, like you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that. But giving the opportunity for them to engage and be present is so important. And I think like when they see us handling like different you know, bills and paying off the debt and things like that. It is my hope that it will be inspiring to them as they see us do that. So just having like little fun ways where they may earn an allowance when they get older and they might say, I want to spend this on McDonald's, you know, and learning that if you, you know, do put in the hard work, you know, you can get rewarded in the future, and learning like different ways, like where they can save. And I also want to look into, I know there's different investment accounts for children, you know, starting as early as now. And I think it'd be really good to look into those, to set that up for them and then let them be a part of the process too. Like we're putting $500 in your savings fund or your, you know, and this fund, you know, look how fun it is. You are earning money even at five, even at four.
Terrific. Well, Latasha, I'm so happy we had a chance to speak with you today. For people who are interested in learning more about your platform, connecting with you, you know, learning about how to start their own side hustle, where can they go?
They can go to www.artsandbudgets.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at artsandbudgets.
Terrific. Well, Latasha, thank you so much for sharing your time and your money memories with us. It's been so much fun.
Thank you for having me. I had a blast.
Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Money Memories. As always, I'm your host, Alona. If you liked what you heard, please don't forget to leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts. If you want to listen to more episodes, go to moneymemoriespodcast.com. Until then, see you next week.